got my dice and I got my friends. We're going on a quiz that never ends. You know when there is trouble abound, me and my crew will always be around. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Lone Gunman, and it's time for the Gamers Haven Podcast with your hosts, Ethan, Jeremy, and Nathan.
And we are back here, finally. It's been a while, I suppose, at the Gamers Haven Podcast. And it's really, we haven't sat down and actually recorded since just after CanCon, I realized the other day. And
yes, it's been a long time.
Yeah, life has a way of...
And so... Here we are, the three of us.
Four.
No, there's only three of us. I only count three. One, two, three. Yeah. Yes, yes. Those who have followed the show before have maybe heard a segment called Munchies for Munchkins.
A couple times.
Once or twice. Many moons ago. Which, I guess, in our numbering system and in our show translates to like three episodes ago.
It's true.
Pretty accurate.
But yes, we are actually joined by the first ever CantCon. I know I promised we wouldn't say anything about CantCon again for a little while, but it's been several months.
Show.
Yeah, that's really it. So if you don't like us talking about CantCon, come to CantCon and tell us to stop talking about CantCon. And we'll be...
July 5th, 6th, and 7th.
5th, 6th, and 7th, yes. But we are being joined here by the first ever CantCon immigrant. That's right, Mr. Chef Gibbs, Noah. Noah is here with us in-house, in studio, permanently. Yes, he is here joining us at the table.
Help, they've locked me up. It's terrible.
Jeremy was using the time machine. I think he was throwing various dead animals through there, that you know, those mutations that didn't work out.
You don't want to throw living animals through the time machine.
Well, these were dead animals.
Well, they come out dead on the other side anyway.
And Noah came crawling out of the time machine, which is kind of odd, so we decided that... Then we gave him pants, and Paul decided that he liked him because he humped his leg.
And then we gave Paul pants.
And Paulita was very happy that we gave him pants. And now we have a Noah here in our lair, in our deep underground lair. This is what happens
so
when
deep
you
underground, you can hear the helicopters flying overhead.
And you know, it's you have this whole you leave New Jersey and it gets hit by a hurricane.
Okay, and then a nor'easter. Can I just tell you that there's actually a historical precedent to this? When I went for a job interview in New Orleans, I went the hurricane there. 40 days after I went to New Orleans is when Hurricane Katrina hit.
So you're saying your mutant power is to have hurricanes hit where you have
when
been.
You leave.
Yes, when I leave.
Well, luckily you've moved to a place where hurricanes cannot get to.
Ethan, don't you know better right now than to tempt Mother Nature like that?
No, I live in Kansas. We tempt Mother Nature every year. It's called Tornado Alley.
We do have lakes around, so we can have miniature
When you live in a flood zone.
Yep.
Everywhere is a flood zone.
Yes.
Everywhere in this area of Kansas is.
No. See, people don't understand this. Everywhere is a flood zone. We just pretend that certain places are not flood zones. Oh, wait, I live on a hill. It's not a flood... No, it is.
No, that's what we call a waterfall.
Yeah, Someday the water will be high enough, and you will be under it.
But what have we all? What have we all been up to? It's been what? God,
years.
A long time.
Three
or 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months since we recorded. Just about, because we are now recording in. I guess what is today?
November the 9th.
Yes, November the 9th, the new James Bond day.
Skyfall
came out today, so we're recording on November 9th today, and go see Skyfall, it is quite good.
It was very good.
You've been moving, obviously.
I've been moving,
yes.
A lot.
You've moved, what was it, 1,600 miles?
1,200 miles, 3 days.
We're just going to keep increasing that number as we keep, probably 1,200, and it'll be 16, it'll be... 2,500, and it'll be like... Eventually, it'll be like, you moved here from the Andromeda Galaxy.
Yes.
Yes. Uphill both ways.
In the snow. Cosmic snow.
Is like Ukrainian fish, now 65 pounds, still mostly bone.
Yes, still mostly bone. It, you see, there's one, yes. It's still mostly bone, you know. It's just like Siberian turkeys who eat fish, who eat hamsters, who ride the fish. Anyway.
Burrow under the ground.
Burrow from Ukraine to Siberia. Yes. It's good. You buy fish now. So you've come to Kansas to buy fish. And no, we enticed Noah enough to actually move all the way from New Jersey to Kansas. I think he just had an inkling that a hurricane was going to hit. And we're like, you know, right. I'm going for dry land.
And a snowstorm.
Because
there's a giant storm.
And I'm pointing out that it's November 9th right now, and it's like 60 degrees outside.
It's supposed to be 70 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then Sunday,
I love global warming.
Snow.
Or a thunderstorm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then we're supposed to get crazy cold again, and, you know.
Yeah.
It is. Welcome to Kansas, Noah.
I'm perfectly happy to be here.
Weather, wait 5 minutes.
Yes. And Noah was lamenting on, not really lamenting, he was just amazed at the gun control laws here in Kansas.
or lack thereof.
In comparison to New Jersey.
They used to be much, much more stringent than they are now. You used to have to license everything. Now?
Two words. Sam Brownback. There you go.
That's for you, Sam.
Yeah, in New Jersey, you have to get a gun buyer's ID card. You need to get you have to license every gun with the local PD, get a background check. I went to the Bass Pro Shops here, and I'm like, hey, I'm trying to get some info. First words out of the guy's mouth were, shoot a lot and shoot often. Okay, not exactly what I needed right away.
No, that is the law, actually. Here's the statute. Shoot a lot. Section B, shoot often. Done.
Section C is, here's the paperwork to get a conceal and carry.
Section C, yes. It is not illegal to shoot people from Missouri. No, wait. That is illegal.
No, scratch that. And if they're on your doorstep, it's not. If you give someone warning before you open fire, it is perfectly legal to shoot and kill someone.
Quite frankly, what do you expect from a state that idolizes and has a mural to John Brown in its Capitol building?
He was crazy.
He was a crazy psychotic murderer. So
yeah,
but he was also an abolitionist.
He was a crazy psychotic murdering abolitionist.
Yes, but they look at the abolitionist part because that was one of the defining points of Kansas.
There were bushwhackers. I mean, you got to keep in mind, there were bushwhackers burning towns.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that type of crazy, what do? You build your own kind of crazy.
You realize how he died, right?
And you send your crazy over.
He was hung for trying to...
Being crazy.
He was hung for treason because he tried to lead a revolt.
It's okay.
Military, and they hung him at Harper's Ferry, wasn't it?
You let the crazies kill each other off, and the rest of us go, you guys are all crazy.
Yep. We're all dead, too, so we're happy to be normal and alive.
And the rest of us will just go on with our lives.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, Noah, you've moved all the way here from the crazy metropolis state of New Jersey.
Actually,
that is like one whole city. It's like like from border to border, it's a giant city. It's like you walk into Blade Runner.
You are aware that actually what I've experienced of Kansas is more like that because I can't figure out where one part of Kansas City ends and the other begins.
There is no part where it ends. Haha, see, you already have to make me smurf.
Oh.
Dun dun dun. Now, actually, coming from someone who's lived in Kansas off and on most of his life, when I went to New Jersey, I was more comfortable with the scenery in Jersey than I am here. It's like here, it's like tree.
Well, Nathan, I think I speak for all of us when we say if you wanted to leave Becca and go, you could.
Oh, come on.
Okay. You can visit.
You can visit once in a while.
Well, spin.
Okay, I guess we're stuck with him.
Hey, look, for everything people complain, he's the guy who actually was able to make it out to help me. You know,
the one with the serious gastrointestinal problems drove 2,500 miles round trip.
Yep. I was broke, so
yeah.
There's that.
We were too.
That was my excuse.
Done.
Yeah,
it's a good excuse. Good excuse.
So you're here now. You're in Kansas. You have people who actually will game with you
and want me around.
That's and want you around. Yeah. Well, we wanted to talk to you about that actually. No. Okay. And so we've been gaming. We've been throwing dice fairly often with you lately.
Well, let's see. I've done your game a few times.
That's the plural of dice.
Mm-hmm. We just did character generation for one of two Deadlands games I'm running. Mm-hmm. I did that one for
2 days. We're making characters.
That's the insane game. That's the Circus of Fools game, which is an 8-player game. This is.
Yep, that'll be entertaining.
That's gonna be entertaining.
Yeah. So the other one he's running is all of 4 players.
It's right all now. 4 players mm-hmm. right now. Should be 5. I really need to talk to him about that.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet he'd probably like to play Helix Deadland.
Different Jeremy. Not that Jeremy.
The My other brother. Jeremy. Jeremy My part Jeremy. 2.
Jeremy part 2.
Yeah. Jeremy 2.0.
The Jeremy replicant that we had made.
No, not him. He went
to right. We had to send Deckard after him.
Right.
Yeah. He was a.
I want a Blade Runner thing than that, I guess.
That one went a little off.
Yeah.
Something about, you know, being made without an emotion.
Yeah. But well, no, and actually, I will point this out. You know, we are going on sort of a bit of a ramble, but this month does mark our 6th birthday.
Yep.
We're 6 years old.
Gamers Haven's really 6
now? Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
We started in November. No,
that makes sense, because I started
in November 2006.
Yeah, I started listening in
So when maybe you guys were like maybe 40, at some point I will release the hidden episode, which
no.
one did we skip?
The greatest episode.
No.
The greatest episode. It's like 42. Episode 51 or 51.
No, we can't ever No,
I told
that.
You let me have one preview of that. My eyes started burning.
Yeah.
No.
It was like no. It was like opening the Ark of the Covenant.
It was. And you know, just,
and keeping your eyes open. There was melting. And it was.
It was more
I told you.
That way.
I told I you know. I you said here you want to listen.
Over, yeah.
I thought it was worth it.
72
no.
for Jeremy. Mm-hmm. 51 for me. It's and awesome that they 35 for you.
It's awesome that they take Quatlus actually.
Yeah.
So
it's nice. Mm-hmm. But no, actually, the Jeremy 2.0 is actually my brother Jeremy. In August, he moved back from Colorado. He's been estranged from Kansas for many, many a years.
He got sick of them darn Democrats there.
No, he came here and he's you've seen his Facebook post. But he's
not that we get into politics on this show.
No, but he's having a great time here.
For Obama. Excuse me.
He's joined a game with us. I'm running a Slipstream game,
mm-hmm.
just one more session, but he's got a game, which is something he hasn't got to do in a while.
Well, that's going to be like an on and off kind of like in between game, I kind of figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll run it some more when Andre wants downtime and Ethan doesn't want to run something on a Saturday game.
And I get the honor of being forced to join like 3 ongoing known Gamers Haven.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not forced, it's you're told.
You were gamer dry. In New Jersey, you've come here, and now there's the overabundance. Because really, welcome to Kansas, where there's not much else to do but games.
You know what? But I'm surprisingly okay with that.
Okay, you know, and we keep trying to get Tracy out here, but his wife will have nothing of it. And I still think if we just get her out here and she sees the place, she'd probably like it. But
yeah, it's like Ohio, only not as cold.
We're working on passing that law to outlaw the fate system here in Kansas. You know,
no.
I'm associating it with creationism and with intelligent design.
Don't associate it with creationism because with the way this state is, it would be passed.
Yeah, I'm gonna associate it with Darwinism, and that way it'll totally go away. Yeah. I just got Tracy to yell at his iPod. That's pretty awesome. I love looking at the future.
But I still have not.
So ignore the fate system. We're just going to go with
Palladium. No, God.
School Days. We'll go School Days, and we'll go with One Shot.
I do have a copy of School Days. Tracy has to sign it for me, and I did help support the One Shot game that he did.
It's a cool.
Hey, you know, he does games that are, you know, I would quantify as fruity, but.
You quantify.
I would totally. He knows this. There are games that I would that I'm not that are not made for people like me. But I support my friends. I buy his stuff.
Your next game has to be based on fruit.
There we go.
See,
you're all playing fruit.
You got to be careful because you got to learn by now that when you say something like that to Tracy, he will come through on it.
I believe the response will be challenge accepted.
Yes.
Create a game that's all.
I believe he's probably stopped his car at this point and is now writing something down or typing up a text or an email. It's always good.
Yeah, this is how we ended up.
I love manipulating things Machiavellian way from the past.
This is how we ended up with the 2011 Care Bears Reloaded game.
Yeah.
And this is how we ended up with School Days to begin with, because apparently that thought started with CantCon 2010, not his drive home.
Yeah.
And 2013, we'll see. This time, it's personal.
Yeah, apparently, we are supposed to see the return
Care
of the
Bears
Bears versus Ponies. Uh-huh. So.
As you can tell, my wife is here.
As she just has a joygasm over hearing the characters.
Oh yeah,
since
you that I guess that is a slightly big thing that's happened since the last episode is I got married.
Slightly big.
It's slightly
just slightly
just a little change in life. You,
slightly big. He excavates. Uh-huh. He excavates a whole new section of the underground layer, and he calls it slightly big.
Well, when we have all
one room.
Yeah, you have to earn things around here, Noah.
I'm 17 closets.
Okay, can I at least get an extra half a room for the pulled pork?
And two buckets.
Maybe. You'll have to ask Jeremy. He's in charge of the infrastructure around here. So.
No.
You have to make him more pulled pork.
The pulled pork goes into his tummy directly.
Really, the only reason we
it just teleports directly in.
All this time, we're actually not gamers. This is all an intricate plan, an intricate, you know, ruse to get you out here because you're a chef.
Yeah.
So you can make us
the rest
food.
Of it was just
now we reveal to you that we're actually Bible thumping Baptists. Yeah, I can't even.
Yeah. you try.
No. Maybe I should have gone with Scientology, but I can't even do that either.
I saw the streak of white hair start to form from that one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then here's me.
This whole bunch is you.
You have no gray hair on your head. Stop talking.
Yeah.
I pluck it out when he's sleeping.
Jeez. Yeah, I sleep.
No. Leave mine alone. I've earned mine.
They make you look
hard.
They make you look noble.
Distinguished.
Not with the way mine come in. It's like one here, one here, one here. But they're clumped together. It's like the random, like, you know, the weeds growing in the yard sort of thing. It's like one here, and there's one way the hell over here.
You have weeds coming out of your head?
Yes, yep. He does.
It's called
Which
gray hair.
Becca runs a lawnmower over his head now and again.
Washington State.
Everything's
for
legal
use.
In Washington.
Yep.
Except it's
said,
such a
it's
small
legal already,
amount.
So
it's like four nanograms.
What?
Weed in Washington?
Oh, no, it's yeah, it's like,
it's,
but
it's
you know
really
what?
Like
it's a step forward. It's going to be interesting, and this is way too much politics for this podcast.
Politics?
Oh, it's okay.
Welcome to the Gamers Politics Podcast. No, wait,
no,
it hurts.
Politics.
I'd rather talk the fate system. Okay.
All right,
Jeremy. Jeremy, what have you been up to of late in the last 4 months?
Work.
That's pretty much all you've been doing.
There's this thing. It is called employment.
Yeah, pretty much.
You got that too recently.
I do have that. I have a real job. It's great. I get paid and everything.
I played a lot of WoW.
Uh-huh.
A lot of Minecraft.
Yeah, excellent. I think we are gonna talk about a couple in our three-parter. Yes, three-parter. We will be talking a bit about some of our probably some of the games we've played in the last four months, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, my game's still going on.
Mm-hmm. When it can meet.
Let's see. Trying to do the playtest once in a while and reading up on that stuff.
Yeah, we did get the chance to playtest 5th edition briefly. Or I guess
we can't talk about
D&D Next.
Oh, wait, we can't talk about any of that. We got to delete all that, actually.
Yeah,
we really can't talk about that.
Let's see.
That didn't happen.
None of that happened.
Yes. Now, we can actually say we've played it. We just can't be any
we
more
can't
specific
talk
about
it. Yeah, right. We can't. So, actually, we did do playtesting, but we can't give you anything specific about it.
The musical number was gorgeous.
It was. There's a musical number.
And then
number.
There was that whole bit where we were doing the combat through
Ethan,
ice skating.
You're giving too much
away. Oh, right. Sorry.
We love Wizards of the Coast.
I'm looking forward to the interpretive dance, honestly, in the revision. Exactly. Critical hit.
Plie for an extra 12 points of damage.
What's a plie?
Trying to get people to be more active in gaming so you get up from the table.
Well, it's all based on the phase system.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, obviously, yes. Everything is now based on the phase system. Coupled with palladium.
Right.
So it's fate.
Well, that's
lots
the
and
character
lots of
creation.
Rudimentary.
Percentile-based stats.
Like percentile-based stats. Mm. And
skills that you'll never, ever,
Mega
ever
Dice,
use.
MDC damage. Anyway.
What's our topic for tonight?
I don't even remember.
I do.
We're going to... It was something I thought of months ago and actually tried to get us together, and then life all went all crazy. Was that mentality of GMs versus players. It was a posting on... someone posted on Facebook about it, and... It sort of got me thinking about it. It's that whole, you know, I made this adventures and my players ruined it, and I just sort of want to talk about that here.
How did they ruin it?
Yeah, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that right after the break. So we'll be right back.
For entire generations of people now, gaming is as much a part of the fabric of their reality as television, films, books, music, and any other form of entertainment medium. Continue is a magazine for the gaming community, the global gaming community. Not just video and computer games, but board games, card games, role-playing games, alternate reality games, and anything that falls into the category of humans engaging to have fun. A celebration of gaming.
Issue 3 now available, featuring the rise, fall, and rebirth of adventure gaming. A once mighty genre sits at the cusp of greatness once more, and the history toys. Why mixing real-world fact with in-game fiction provides a richer gaming experience for us all.
Continue Magazine at www.continuemag.com.
Right. Well, we are back from that lovely little interlude, and like we said in the intro, we're going to be talking about that GM versus player mentality and that sort of post I saw online of
curse
that, you know, I ran this adventure and the players ruined it. And so
was it a crappy game?
Well,
I don't think that matters.
No,
really,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was a good game or a bad game. The mentality was that the players destroyed all the hard work that he put forward.
And that's just...
But if it's crap...
That almost sounds like... I mean, I think very
well. Okay, well, and I'll tell you right now, man, I'm going back and I'm listening to the Deadlands game. And,
when did we ever do anything you wanted us to?
Well, that's the thing, is you have to be flexible with what you're doing. And there were times where I set things up and they went horribly, horribly wrong. John and the Slavers.
But did the slavers survive?
And I'll tell you, there have been numerous times in a game where I've set up something. I'm like, this is going to be so awesome. This is a great twist. And one of the players says something off the cuff that's like, you know, I bet it's something like this. And I go, crap, that was a better idea than mine. I'm stealing that one. yes, you're right. See, then they feel clever. That's the secret here. But this whole idea of, you know, players versus the GM where... Well, like, I have this story to tell. If you guys deviate from it, you're ruining my story.
It's bringing more conflict to something that doesn't need the conflict in the first place.
You know, to me, that boils down to bad GMing. I can personally, like, of the games I've been in over the years, there was one Star Wars Saga, the only Star Wars Saga edition game I've ever been able to sit down and play. I played one session of, and then I walked away from the session. Oh, two, if you count character creation. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to, like, it was like the new quote unquote outbound project sent for the Outer Rims, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Concept cool, sounded great. There's a press conference to announce the new outbound flight project, and the senator who's backing it takes a shot from a sniper. I'm playing the medic, I managed to help him. Before the whole press conference happened, we had a whole bunch of skill challenges that were supposed to, you know, if you do well in these skill challenges, your backers are going to keep backing you and you're going to get certain supplies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We rolled perfectly on our skill challenges. We passed all the skill challenges and cool.
Yeah.
Well, because of the sniper attack, a bunch of these backers pulled out. Wait, time out. I'm sorry. You just told us that if we pass these skill challenges... This is going to see. So basically, you just basically took all of our success
and made it mean.
And because of your plot twist,
ruined, why did we go through all that?
Why did you?
Challenge?
Yeah, it's which is why I walked away from the game. And that and he had that whole player versus GM mentality, and it was his story, his thing, and you know. Damned with whatever we wanted to do.
And I'll tell you that there are times as a GM where you need where you do need to lead the characters by the nose to something.
I'm not arguing,
but
leading.
But you have to have that flexibility in there, and you have to be able to look at it and go, and be able to say, okay, well, these heroes are now they're not going to stay here. They've decided they're going to ignore this and go off in this random direction. Moot, go with it, you know?
Well, it's...
Now, there's a reason why when it comes to planning for most games, I have the pivot points that I really want to hit that have, like specific events, like the spaceship chase or the shootout with the big bandit and whatnot. But the rest of it is not. It's just loosely structured because the players are never going to go the way you want to. So it's like, okay, well, you're not going to go to that planet. You're going to go to this planet. Okay, well, we'll throw in the space chase here instead of where it was going to be here.
Yeah, there's be just, able to pull that stuff out yeah. and throw it well, anywhere.
I make stuff as modular as possible to make sure mm-hmm. that, because the players are going to want to do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of trying to railroad them is going to make them do what you want to do.
Well, it makes them angry.
Yeah. Yeah. But the whole goal of playing a game is to have fun mm-hmm. and have everybody be yeah. happy. And if you're railroading the players and pissing them off, then no one wants to game with you then.
And to the end of planning for stuff like this, I will say, and I'm going to keep this as brief as I can because I can't talk about this too much, but you and I are both in the Realmworks mm-hmm. trial, which we are allowed to say. We're also allowed to say that it looks really, really good, and it's mm-hmm. it's really good software that helps you plan. And something that they've put on their website is that you can actually do branching trees of what you're mm-hmm. planning. And I'm not going to say anything beyond yeah. that.
All I can say is if you like Lone Wolf products like Hero Lab,
you're going to love it.
You're going to want to buy
yeah.
the Realmworks.
Can we pause it?
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Well, I mean, there's a couple different things here because, I mean, the GM is a player is a player too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is a good thing to point out. That is in this mentality, the GM doesn't think that.
And that's a problem. Because I've had all types. I've had the type where I had a player who decided, okay, I want, starting at level one, I want to be this mystical individual who can tell the future. I'm like, okay. And I can read the stars. I'm like, okay, we can kind of work with this, I guess, mm-hmm. with some skill checks. So that's fine. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, right. The future is
not set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The future is very hazy.
Especially with players.
Especially mm-hmm. with players. And I also made it clear that, you know, this is not a set science. So when things fell the way they did, and it turned out the players at the time had actually run into, they actually got in trouble for kidnapping a high-level noble, the player freaked out on me. They're like, I should have known this. I should have known all of this. And after that, it was them against me and the rest of the group. And I stopped that game.
They tried to derail the game.
And I stopped that game because it was just like, there was no point in continuing because they were so just mm-hmm. against. And it's like, now wait a second.
Well,
you're taking a character concept at such a low level.
And we do a lot of actual play. And, you know, I think I've been on the receiving end of some of this because listening to the Deadlands thing, I'm going back through and I'm remembering some of the criticism that I received, some of the people that I received emails from. And there's that image of players versus GM. It's like, oh, you're a GM. You're trying to kill all these characters. And I think, as a GM, you really need to. You do need to have it in your mind that the characters, the player characters, are the heroes of the story, and you really need to be ready to be defeated. And it's like you don't want to introduce a bad guy who's invulnerable and whatnot. You want to have an interesting guy,
and you have to be able to tell your story. But you also can't have an individual who is just so stuck in their mind mm-hmm. that. I've said it before,
it's like you make this big bad villain, and the characters show up and they smack him around and it goes wrong. Don't fudge it. Don't like let him get away, that type yeah. of thing. Don't GM fiat it. Well, have him not be the main villain then. Yeah.
The other
sometimes the characters will run into an NPC uh-huh. who they will turn into the major villain.
The other side of this is
Winston.
Mm-hmm. Is when you get GMs who have the beloved NPC
yeah. well,
who's
yeah,
a
yeah.
little too important.
We all know someone like this, yeah. yes.
And you have to, as a GM, give that up.
Who has, it's essentially his character that plays
you have to give that up. I mean, I think we've all gone through that. Mm-hmm. We really have,
one way or another. We've all had that beloved oh, yeah. NPC.
And
that beloved NPC invariably always dies horribly in any game I run.
Not necessarily. I think what Noah's talking about is literally it's the GM's player character.
It's basically, yeah, and it's where the GM has their character.
He won't die. He's better than everyone else, and he is his character
and you
that
have,
he plays in the game he's running.
No, I don't think
I've yeah. played that. Oh, you've never experienced that?
No, I may have experienced it, but I haven't run one.
And
PCs
are there for
because when
reason,
you set them up, it's like, oh, they're super awesome, and then they die. That's kind of a story twist, you know. But this is putting a guy in here. It's like, no, this guy is. He's the Deus Ex Machina. He comes in and he'll save everyone if necessary.
I would say
he's invulnerable. You know,
I would
all that.
Say that,
Chimera, and then Chimera died horribly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I would say any GM, starting out, even I would say usually when they start out younger, has that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah,
but again, you know, you touched on the point of starting younger.
Yeah.
Yes, you start younger. You mm-hmm. start at a certain point, and
you
grow
play,
as a GM.
You play and you run the game differently.
But
at
some GMs don't,
you know,
grow out of that.
At 12 well, than you do at 25.
It's and that's sad.
Well, most of
because
us do.
Well,
yeah.
Also, you're never going to 100% get away from that though, because you're always every NPC is a part. It's
okay.
Like acting.
It's an extension by proxy.
But it's when you take it too far.
Well, yeah, and I can agree with that because, you know, I have, and Ethan knows, I have one NPC in my Deadlands games. He shows up in every single one of my Deadlands games, and I will guarantee every you're going to run into him in the new game. It's Isaac Van Helsing, the crazy rabbi vampire hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up, he helps out, and he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. He doesn't stick around. He doesn't.
Yeah, that's definitely something I really strive to do. Is if like in the Deadlands game when you guys ran into White or when you ran into Doc Holliday, I didn't want them to overshadow you guys. They came in, they did their thing, and then they were gone.
Even though I did not get along with Doc Holliday.
Well, no, he tried to kill you once. He tried to kill you at one point.
But most GMs reach the point where they, instead of having one favorite.
Mm-hmm.
NPC that is so beloved
by them.
Hopefully,
by the time you get to the end of the campaign, you have a cast or an ensemble
mm-hmm.
of support NPCs that are not only beloved by you, the GM, but are well liked and loved by the players.
That's
as well.
That's the problem with this one beloved one, because a lot of times that one beloved one is not. Loved by everybody
mm-hmm.
else.
He's beloved
they
by
are,
the GM, and that's it.
Everybody else is just like either they don't care. They think they're stupid, or they're just like, whatever. So, a GM just
like, oh,
needs to be
such
like,
and such is here.
Yeah, who cares?
We'll Let's be fine now. He'll kill the bad guy.
So, a GM just needs, I mean, all GMs take a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great for that kind of character. Build an NPC up that way. And then when the players think, oh, God, here he comes, he's going to save the day, have him just squashed in the most horrific way and watch the players scramble for cover.
Mm-hmm. But
I'm a really mean guy.
But
I run Call of Cthulhu for crying out loud.
But that's the thing. A GM that is building that,
mm-hmm.
they aren't thinking that way.
No.
They have created this individual
mm-hmm.
and
they've created him as a player character.
They want that individual in the game and they don't think of it as,
no.
is there, as
just,
an
it's
outside.
Sort of, it's sort of that way of,
I've always thought of
it's sort of that way
I
of
run as expendable.
Well, it's sort of that way of, well, I never get to play, so I'm always GMing. Well, this is my way I get to play.
But it's a blind spot.
And they're not
spot.
Seeing there that GMing is playing the game.
Well, of course it is. I mean, without you, what is everyone going to do? Sit around the table?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Well, yeah.
Well, you can have a GM-less game.
Oh,
everybody
God.
Could sit around
no,
and create a story.
No, that's bad.
That goes against everything
you
think.
You can do
that.
Strive
that'd
for be
it, Jeremy.
That'd be a fiasco.
Ooh.
Oh.
I just got him to yell at his iPod.
No! But
you're going to make him crash his
the,
car.
The,
uh-huh.
Then he'll have to move out here.
Wait, you mean the forum boards might actually start exploding again?
We might actually get forum posts again.
The individual who wrote, I didn't read this article, so I have no idea. I mean, if you go with them against...
Well, and it really wasn't. It was just a Facebook post to someone. I don't remember who it was, but they were talking about, I ran this adventure and my players completely ruined it.
But
and I'm just like you're and I just posted that then you're not doing it right.
Then then there's a couple
you're
of things going on. Either
you're holding
there's
it wrong.
A personality
yeah.
there's personality issues
mm-hmm.
and that can occur.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've
you
all had
are
personality conflicts.
You have spent way too much time focused on that adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Or yes, you are doing it wrong because you aren't allowing for the adventure to grow.
Yeah, and if you find yourself in a spot where you get done with the game and you're like, man, my play, they just screwed that whole thing up, man. It's, I mean, this is awful. Stop and, you know, really ask yourself if you want to continue to run this. Mm-hmm. And talk to the players. And if the players want to go in a different direction, do it. You know, I mean, the superhero game is going in a very different direction than I anticipated it. And yeah, okay, if it wants to go that way, it'll go that way. And that's fine. As long as people are having fun, that's all really
that's all
you
a game
want
really
here.
Is.
And you know, I'm a real big fan of stealing my players' ideas. You know, if they'll come up with stuff to do that is way better than I'll come up with it. You know, nine times out of ten,
and it's
run with it. You
it's
know?
Not. It's not as difficult as people think it is, depending on the game. Movement
and
powers can cause issues.
Well, I'll tell you, and everybody thinks that this has some. I've had some people email me about the Deadlands game, and they're like, "Well, you had this great intricate story," and like, actually, I didn't. I had these ideas of where it was going, and then I sort of let you guys sort of direct and drive. And then as you ran into people, I'm like, "Oh, okay, they didn't like him. He'll be a bad guy now." And, you know, I just sort of shoehorned people in here and there, removed things, and then directed you. It's like, oh, hey, here's this great adventure, Coffin Rock. I'm going to put that. They'll get something that directs them to there, and I'll run that, and that'll be crazy
because
things.
It's a location. You dump them in a location, and then you let the location grow.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not really – and if they don't like that location that much
– they move out of it.
You kind of got to let them go.
Yeah.
Unless there's just something there that they really want to play around with.
Mm-hmm. And I find that it's something like that is a bit more terrifying as a GM if it's something you're not that familiar with. If it's your own setting you built, you're much more comfortable saying, okay, you want to leave this city?
Whatever.
Okay, you're going over this other one I'll create.
And
whereas like in Deadlands or in any game that's like in a
pre-built
like Star Wars, anything like that.
Star Wars
where they say, I
want
to go to this
that.
Planet. If you don't really know much about that planet or that city or that mm-hmm. thing, you know, that as a GM, you can get pretty terrified. It's like, oh, crap, now I have to read up on what that was, blah, blah, blah. When really you don't.
Mm-hmm. Just make cares? Something
make
up.
I mean,
it's
you know. Who's to say there's not a
well, that's,
crazy
let me,
oasis
let me tell you,
on,
this,
on,
this,
on Hoth somewhere,
this is,
you know?
This is why.
Who cares?
This
we don't
is,
know the entire moon. Was
that's why I always preferred running, if I do a Star Wars campaign, especially the Little Republic. 3,000 years ago, I can do whatever I want.
Well,
stop doing that.
You do need to stop doing that. No, even if it's in the rebellion era, you can do whatever the heck you
that's
want.
True.
Who cares?
Well, yeah,
kill Darth Vader. Who cares? Mm-hmm. It's your game.
Who's gonna stop you?
Imagine you're running a Star Wars game, and people come in, and here's Darth Vader, and Darth Vader's facing off against this other guy. People are gonna automatically go, oh well, Darth Vader's gonna kick his ass, you know, blah blah blah, and then Darth Vader dies.
Or how many times? The few times I've run Star Wars, I always throw Darth Vader in.
And how often do we run like scared little children?
You guys run away,
time.
But I always put in Darth Vader because it's funny as hell.
No,
he's terrifying.
You gotta put in Darth Vader. Why? I don't know. He's gotta have Darth Vader. He's gotta walk in.
Don't be afraid to let the players tell a story in your game. And if that means that they're gonna quote unquote trash your adventure, then you know, don't take that quote unquote trash and turn it into something else. You know, it's like, well, what's the consequences of what they've done?
If they didn't hit certain parts of that adventure, you can always
recycle.
Yeah,
so, oh well, they missed this portion of it. Right. Okay, well, you could do two things. You can just take that out, put it somewhere else, or you can say, okay, well, what happens because they missed this portion?
Right.
You know, what's the consequences of
if
that?
If they're
and
working,
that's heavy in Cthulhu. Like if you guys miss certain pieces of the puzzle, it vastly affects the outcome and various different things.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna die.
Well, that's kind of a given. It is Call of Cthulhu.
Oh yeah.
Well, and if you're working for somebody and you show back up and you're like, "Well, we got half of the magical item, so can we get paid now?" No. Go back and get it. But there's scary monsters in there.
Adventurers.
You have a pointy thing.
I'm not railroading you.
I'm a squishy nobleman.
I'm not railroading
you. You
have I'm just not going to pay you. So you don't have to take this job, but my guards are going to take that away from you. Thank you. And we're not going to pay you. Oh, you want to start a fight in here? That's fine. bring in some more guards, bring in some more guards. Oh, I'm a dick. Oh.
Well, you're a noble. What do you expect?
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you can use logic on these things just because players are in a big city causing issues.
I mean, obviously, you got to be a fair GM. And you have to be fair. You have to be logical in things. If they kill that nobleman, then there's consequences to that.
Yeah, there's consequences. First, you loot it, take his...
Player characters need to understand that sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm.
Depending on the setting, I mean, hey, take his golden underwear.
Or his pantaloons of gender changing.
Sometimes you just have to send a devil cow after them.
Right.
See, that's always terrifying.
Creepy devil cow.
Mm-hmm. Everyone needs a devil cow.
Devil cows.
Yes. 12 devil cows.
Alrighty.
It's six utter shoes.
But, you, I mean, if you just think about it that you are one of the players and
that should vastly help.
It's not you against them. I hate this.
Yeah, that mentality drives me nuts.
The GM is there to provide story.
This is a cooperative thing, you know.
And
they can't be there without you. You can't be there without them.
I mean, it is to provide some law to the lawlessness, but it's not to be there against. It's not them against. It's no one against anybody.
I just had a mental image from Ethan's comment there. You can't be there without them. They can't be there without you. You can be there without them. You'll be sitting at the table forever alone.
Forever alone.
You mean like New Jersey, where I had forever. No players?
Yep. And now you're here.
Never alone.
All right. Is there anything any of us wants to add to this?
I think we pretty much smash this into the ground. The only way players can ruin your game, your adventure,
is if you let them. Yeah.
It's plain and simple.
And that's really a sign that is if you give up and you let them.
Yeah.
And no, then, if you're you give up.
I can't think of how many times I've structured something or set up an adventure and just had the players go a completely different way. It was like, all right, let's run with this. Here's the story over here. You guys don't want to do that. Okay, we'll go do this. Eventually, what's amazing is if you give them enough time, eventually they'll make their way back to what you wanted them to look at in the first place.
And at this age, I'm just too old to really
care about it anymore.
So, well, I mean,
ultimately, you're there to have fun.
Yeah, and
have fun, you know?
I have stories I want to tell, but I can tell those stories, and, you know, it's going to work out. If somebody doesn't want to do it, fine.
They don't have to do it, but
time travel and be eaten by a dinosaur.
Yes! Best death ever.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items. And we are back after that lovely discussion, and on today's three-parter...
Four-parter, sir.
Three-parter?
Four-parter.
We only have a three-parter.
We only have three-parters.
We may occasionally have
four parts.
It has four parts. It is a four-part trilogy of segments.
Like Indiana Jones.
Yes. What? Hey, Douglas, if Douglas Adams can have a five-book trilogy, we can have a four-segment three-parter. That's what I'm saying.
It's
so,
a five-parter. Three-parter. Three.
But on our, we're doing a series of reviews, actually, since we've all had a chance to play a lot of cool games. Yeah. Do we have a volunteer who wants to go first? And we'll go go from there. All right. We're going to kick it off here in just a moment with Nathan. The review.
Well, okay. I'm going to talk about something that just recently came out. Well, not recently came out. Came out a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures game. A little bit of backstory to this. I think you guys might find amusing. All right. As most people who know me know, my birthday's in September. My brother just recently moved back from Colorado. Well, he gave me a gift certificate for the gaming store I normally don't go to for a good chunk of money, which was exciting because I was going to go down and pick up some Savage Worlds books, and spent 5 separate visits and 6 separate attempts, including a phone attempt, to try to get him to be able to order the books I need. But apparently they're no longer being published, and he wasn't able to get them in any way, shape, or form. So, as is typical, I was kind of depressed and went up to the Tabletop Games, and lo and behold, he had all the books I was looking for sitting on a shelf. But
of course.
I didn't have a gift certificate for Tabletop.
Yay, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, go Phil. Awesome with the inventory. So after we got back from picking up Noah and I took Noah down to take him down to the local GameStop, the store, the one that's closest, and we had a look around. And they had this sitting on the shelf, and I saw it up in New Jersey. I think that was when I'd first seen it.
Yeah.
And it was fairly new then. Yes, I know. Thank you. And it looked interesting, but it was $40. So I wasn't going to pick it up in New Jersey because I didn't have that much money just lying around I could randomly spend. But when I got back, my gift certificate was for $35. So it ended up being like $5, which was great. So I picked it up and started looking through the instructions and immediately realized that more than likely, no one was going to play with me because it was like the Wings of War. And I could never get anybody to play Wings of War with me.
You didn't know you had Wings of War?
Yeah, I have Wings of War. It's awesome, but nobody will play it with me. So I was kind of disappointed by that, but it looked good. And then Noah had the bright idea, I mean, extremely bright idea, to invite my brother over for a Saturday or Friday night game. And he agreed. Friday night gaming night. It was board games and stuff. My brother brought over a board game that we didn't get to play, which we are going to play the next time we have a gaming night, because that looked awesome.
Okay.
And so I broke this out, and I set it up to play just the quick play rules. And so we sat down and played the quick play rules, and then got up, called Tabletop, found out they had made sure they had a copy, and proceeded to drive up to Tabletop, where my brother bought the box set, an extra X-Wing, a Y-Wing, an extra TIE Advanced, and a TIE Fighter. And then proceeded to bring it back, and we set up 2 teams of 6 ships, or like 3 ships on both sides, and proceeded to try to blast the ever-loving crap out of each other, which lasted well into the night, but was incredibly fun. I got down to the point where all that was left on the table was 2 TIE Fighters and Luke Skywalker. Both TIE Fighters were down to 1 more hit and they'd be dead, and Luke Skywalker was down to 1 more hit and he'd be dead, and we looked at each other and said, "It's midnight. Let's call it a draw." The rules are very simple to play with. The quick start rules are very easy. It consists of about 2 pages. And then it has advanced rules, which allow for a lot of various different things. Certain maneuvers can cause stress and stuff like that, so you can't do any more stressful maneuvers until you recover. And there's certain maneuvers will allow you to recover, but usually they don't put you in a position of being able to do much of anything. You have powers and abilities, like with a TIE, or let's say you're flying an X-Wing. You can take proton torpedoes, proton torpedoes. Well, you have the ability to lock on with your ability, and then when it comes to the combat round, you can fire the proton torpedoes, which are much more damaging than the lasers, so you can cause more damage, hopefully, if the little bastard TIE fighter doesn't get out of the way like he always seems to. It's classic Star Wars. Right now all they have is Y-Wings and X-Wings, and TIE Fighters and TIE Advanceds. They don't have anything else, but I do know that there was talk that they're possibly going to bring out A-Wings and TIE Interceptors. No, they have TIE Interceptors. That was what my brother got. He got a TIE Interceptor and a TIE Advanced. Yeah. There's talk that they'll bring out TIE Bombers and TIE Defenders, and A-Wings and B-Wings eventually, which I can't wait for, because the B-Wings are just a giant weapons platform that has, but the models are slightly expensive. The game itself was $40 for the base game, which gives you 2 TIE Fighters and an X-Wing, which is a fairly balanced battle. The expansion models give you additional cards for additional pilots and some additional counters and stuff, and they are $15 a piece per ship.
Oof.
So they are...
How big are they?
This big. You can see them right there. They're very well detailed. If you look at it carefully, they've got great detail on them. Models are great.
$15 a piece.
But it's not just the model.
You get
the stand, you get 6 additional characters and additional special cards for like special items and various things to supplement with. So you do get a lot for the $15. It's the sticker shock of when you see it. It's like, $15
for one extra ship.
But the ships are well done. It is Fantasy Flight. I'm not surprised that they're slightly expensive. But the quality is there, as is with most Fantasy Flight products.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, my comment would be on this is that if you love Star Wars or enjoy Star Wars and you like the idea of doing spaceship battles, it's well worth checking out. I mean, even if you just go down to the store and see if they have a copy for presentation to go through a quick play and see what it's like, it's worth checking out. And I mean, my brother is fairly what's the word I want to look at? Fairly reserved when it comes to games. He doesn't just play something and go, "Wow, I'm gonna go get that." He does the whole, you know, he tests, you know, runs it through everything. But we sat down and played it one session, and then we had to go get him his own copy. So it's got good merits, and the advanced rule system is very, very cool. So it's worth checking out, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. If you're not a Star Wars fan, this will not make you a Star Wars fan.
Alrighty.
But if you like Wings of War, you might like this. Just remember it's pricey, like the Wings of War models, which were $20 a piece.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so, cool.
But what's nice about them, I've noticed, is they're pre-painted.
Yes, they are. So are the Wings of War ones.
Yeah, that's actually nice.
But what's nice about these is these are actually well pre-painted.
The Wings of War, they weren't well painted.
No, they were not pre-painted very well.
They've got the new, I forget what they're calling it. There's the new Wings of War. It's not called Wings of War anymore.
It's Dawn.
Wings of Glory?
Wings of Glory. Dawn of Glory.
Yeah.
And they're okay, but those guys are even more expensive.
No, they weren't the same.
No. They're $22.95. They're more expensive than the old ones were, but their paint job's a hell of a lot better. You also get more on the new ones. The new ones don't just give you the airplane, but it gives you all the cards you need for your maneuvers and stuff, which you didn't get with the old ones.
I will say, having played this with you, it really, you learn it pretty fast.
But it's complex enough.
Yeah. You can pick it up fast. I don't think... Oh, there were a couple die... There's a couple die rolls, opposed die rolls, which make the game kind of fun. And I don't know, being a classic trilogy fan, it really just harkens back to that whole...
Yeah, and
you know, those
the dogfight in space.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's extremely tactical, so if you're tactical-minded, you'll do very good at it. Like, as my brother found out when we started playing, one bad tactical maneuver...
Oh, yeah.
And it can flip the scales, because he was like, I'm going to fly this way, because he's flying this way, so I can basically loop around. And what I did was I went and then pulled a hard loop back on him, which means I drew a bead on him to fire on him, and he couldn't retaliate. So I peppered his ships with blaster bolts that he couldn't dodge.
Every movement round, you set a dial that says what you're going to do that round,
mm-hmm.
and you set it and then put it face down on your card so you don't...
People can't see what you're doing.
It's not like I move this way and you're like, oh, well, if you're going to move that way, I'm going to move this way.
Right.
No, everybody has to determine their movement before the movement actually goes into effect.
And you, like, set your dial. So, like, this moves forward one, which would be this tiny... There's, like, these little move markers, which help you decide...
It's like the pirate game I have where you decide where you move and you hide it.
Yeah,
and you do. You hide it.
Yeah,
and the thing is so you have no idea
it's
what
the
everybody else
is going
to do.
It's a neat way to determine movement.
It is. I mean, because it's you
yeah,
know,
it's fun. It's worth playing.
It's not like, it's not like playing
night,
we'll break
playing
it out.
Shifts
to play
as a kid.
At some point.
Yeah, you're going, well, no, if you're going to move on.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's got enough complexity.
And it's got custom dice. It is Fantasy Flight.
Yes. And you can buy extra dice, too. But it's well worth trying.
And if you need extra TIE fighters and you have Wings of War already,
mm-hmm. that's true.
There well, you go. Or if you own Micro Machines,
yeah, the Micro Machine ones would be about right.
Or if you have some of the WotC ships that they put out,
yeah, if you have some of the WotC, but Micro Machines you can probably
buy. The Wings of Glory and the Wings of War models are actually significantly larger than this. That was one of the reasons why they're more expensive. The airplanes were larger.
Yeah, they're...
Micro Machines.
How about that?
Micro Machines. Yeah, the nice. Micro Machines would be so good.
It looks cool. It's Fantasy Flight.
They do look really nice.
Yeah, they do.
I do.
I was impressed. And the Y-Wing looks great. The little turret on top actually spins.
Nice.
So the ion turret can actually move. That's and you cool. can actually equip it. That thing is a bastard. It's like, I'm flying. You got hit with the ion turret. Well... You don't get to do anything for the next turn unless someone comes in front of you, because you can't do anything.
Yeah.
You just move forward
you can fire.
You
can basically what happens is if you hit with the ion cannon,
right.
you are automatically set to move the 1 inch forward or whatever the one
yeah,
move
1 inch forward.
1 inch forward for
right.
the next round. You don't get to turn, you don't get to do anything else. It's 1 inch forward.
Okay. So, have you ever played Robo Rally?
Yes.
God no.
We'll have to do that
at least once. It's a fun game, but as the night goes on, you just don't care. You just do the robo
well,
dance.
You, I'll explain it.
Yeah. Here. Okay. We'll check this out.
But you basically set up your movement. Like I think it's like three, isn't it? It's three movement deep. In
what,
advance.
What in
Robo
in
Rally?
Robo Rally. Oh no, God! You have like 9 movement registers. You draw 12 cards. You have 9, and you have 9 movement registers. And you basically have register 1, register 2. You can't touch your robot to figure out where he goes on the board. And there are conveyor belts and gears and stuff. So you do what crazy. They call the robot dances. You're looking at your guy. You're going this way and then that and that. And so you program your registers, and that, or it's, you have 9 cards. You have 5 registers. That's it. And you program it, and then it's like, okay, everyone does register 5. You flip that, everyone does that, and there's an order on the card. Thing is, as you take damage, you lose cards out of your hand. Mm-hmm. So once you've taken 4 damage, you only get 5 cards. Once you take 6 damage, you only get 4 cards, and that 5th register is now locked on whatever was there. So it's like if it's a U-turn, you always will do a U-turn, and you can keep going all the way down.
I've never gotten through a full game. And it's one of those games that I would love to play with rum.
It's a great game. Anyway, that's what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, that's what the damn ion cannon does. But it damages you as well, and so you can't move. So the next round, if they're pulling up a beat on you, still they shoot you with the stupid thing again, and the ion turret can fire 360 degrees around the ship, so it's flying by and it goes pew pew.
That's what ion cannons are for.
That's great. Yeah.
It's like nice. Son of a bitch.
Well, it sounds like a good game.
Which is why after they stopped playing, it was just my brother and I took over all the Empire ships. That was the first bastard we went after. It's like, oh, look, there's the Y-Wing. It has no agility, which means it doesn't get jack squat for dodging.
Yeah. I remember back in the X-Wing, in the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter days, it was slow, but it had the most firepower.
Yeah, it has five shields. An X-Wing has 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like,
it was the tank.
Yeah, it was.
The X-Wing was the most versatile ship, and the A-Wing was the fastest.
No, the A-Wing is the most agile.
Yeah, it's the most agile, and you give up strength for speed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
shield weak armor.
But they incorporate that in.
Oh yeah.
In there?
Oh yeah.
They incorporate nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Review. All right. Now I'm going to talk about a game that I think most everyone else has played. It's actually most everyone else in the world has played. It is a game that I've been wanting to pick up because I've been on a let's find good co-op games to play. And it's the board game Pandemic. And it's put out by Z-Man Games. It was designed by Matt Leacock. Essentially, in this game, it's in the base set. It's 2 to 4 players, and you're all playing. It's a co-op game, and you're all playing teams basically of the CDC, and you're trying to stop 4 diseases from spreading, from basically outbreaking across the world. The point of the game is to come up with 4 cures during the game, and there's the red disease, there's red, yellow, blue, and black disease, I think, is what it is. They don't name them or anything like that. It's just they keep it fairly simple. And each character takes up a certain role that's determined at random by drawing a card. So, like, say you could have the researcher, or you can have the operations specialist. And each role has a special ability that sort of bends the rules just for that character, which is very handy, and everyone has to really think about how to work together. It's one of those really rare, especially co-op games, where the more players you have, actually, the more difficult the game gets. I think we've played it 3 or 4 times now, and we haven't beat it once.
5.
5 times? Yeah, we haven't beat it once. We've come darn close, within one move, and then the last outbreak. Basically, the only way to win the game is to find four cures. To find a cure, you have to get five cards, unless you're the scientist, which you only have to get 4 cards of the same color. You have to get to a research station and discard them to find the cure. This is accomplished by drawing, and also you can have people give you cards. But the thing is, each card has a city on it, so it's like Cairo or Kazakhstan,
so every
or
city,
something.
Every city.
But in order to get that card, unless you're the researcher, you have to actually go to that city to get the card from that player.
Oh,
you have to meet there.
Yeah, you have to.
So it's like if you have the Cairo card, you have to go meet in Cairo to get that card.
Oh, God.
And so there's a lot of there's a lot of strategy involved. And each at the end of each player's turn, they take the role of the infector. So wherever the infection track is at, they draw that many infection cards. And when they draw that the first card, they put one of the infection cubes on that. If there are three there, that city outbreaks, which means you put one cube of that color in each adjacent city. If there's already three in that city, it chain reactions and it outbreaks. And so once there have been eight outbreaks, you lose. There isn't,
oh, crap.
You cannot win. If you ever run out of a color of cube during the game, you lose. You can go treat diseases. Like the medic can go treat all the diseases in the city and get rid of them all. Otherwise, you go there and you remove one cube from that city. And it's a really intricate game. It's one of those games that sounds really difficult, but once you sit down and play it actually makes
me.
Really
it makes, perfect
it, makes
sense.
It makes a lot of sense. I think it's a lot of fun. It's got a very simple mechanic to it, and there's no dice involved. It's just you have the turn goes is you have four actions, and you can do any of these basic actions that you have at your disposal, which is like move, book a flight, that sort of thing, and that depends on what cards you have in your hand. And so you have to really think about it, and you really want to try to keep things under control, but you have to be really getting those getting the cures. Thing is, though, depending on what you get, because in your deck, in the player deck, there are, depending on how many people are playing, there are epidemic cards. And when you make it, when you draw an epidemic card, it's played. You have to play it immediately, and you do what it says. And you basically, a city just got. Just got three cubes dumped in it, and that can make it outbreak, which can just, and then right after you do that, you have to do the infection turn because during your draw phase.
So
it can get really tense. It can get really, okay, we really have to think about where we want to go, and it is, you'd think that with more players it becomes easier. It doesn't. With four, we played it with five people, and it's a game designed for 2 to 4, but it actually worked fairly well with the five. It was really interesting, and I want to get the expansion for it. That's called On the Brink, which adds actual rules for a fifth player and actually a competitive nature to it. It actually adds a bioterrorist option where one person can be the bioterrorist trying to spread disease.
Adds a
fifth disease that acts differently from the others. It adds different scenarios. You can play like a mutation scenario where a disease will mutate. It's one of those things where you probably wouldn't pick this up just seeing it on the shelf.
It's not very impressive.
I heard enough about it that I wanted to check it out, and that it was a great co-op game, one of the best out there. And it really is. It's you could play it in about 45 minutes to an hour. And when Beth and I got it, we basically played it, and they were like, "All right, let's play again." And then we played it again, And it's one of those where you just want to keep playing it, and even though you've lost. You come close enough. You're like, okay, we can do it next time. But even if you're losing, it doesn't matter. You're still having a good time. So it's a really good game. It's actually really reasonably priced too. It's like $40. You can get it off Amazon cheaper, but
support
your local game store. It's $39.99, and the expansion is $34.99, something like that. And it only has one expansion, which is another nice thing. So it's like, you can get that, and if you really like it, get the expansion, and that's it. You're done. You don't have to go buy another 38 different expansions for it. One expansion so far, in that it was...
released a couple years ago, wasn't it?
The core game was released in 2008. The expansion was in 2009, and there's been nothing since.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And it's not like the game's a failure. It's been reprinted numerous times. It's won several awards. And it's just a good game. I'm looking at more at these co-op games that because I find those a lot more entertaining. As far as sitting around and playing with that's why we're such big fans of Sentinels of the Multiverse,
which we'll be getting to in a
little bit. Which we'll be getting to here in a minute. But Pandemic is definitely a good addition to my game library. I want to get the expansion for it at some point, and I highly recommend it to our wonderful listeners out there. So it's a good one. the review.
All right, so I'm reviewing a nice little game called Stars Without Number. And this game is a sci-fi game by a small little company called... Just give me a moment.
No, you cannot have enough time.
Sign Noman Publishing. Basically...
Sign Noman Publishing?
Yes.
Alright.
And what's really neat about this is you can pick up the rules, the main rules, for free. It's a free PDF. And okay. It's the full rules. And it's basically first and second edition rules, but it's space.
Frontier.
And the reason I had been looking for what was the old school TSR space game?
Spelljammer?
No, old, this not Spelljammer, because Spelljammer is actually the fantasy version. I'm talking Alternity. Oh. I was looking for Alternity, but. And I found Alternity website.
I thought the earliest science fiction setting from TSR was Buck Rogers.
Yeah, but I didn't want Buck Rogers. I didn't want Buck Rogers. I wanted spaceships, but not quite Buck Rogers like. But way,
it came out. I think it came out later.
Either way, I found Stars Without Numbers, and Stars Without Numbers. It works like your old school first, second edition. The nice thing is it's easily converted from a two-hit armor class zero to a positive modifier system on armor class, very simply. Now, most of these systems are. And they make it quite clear in the system that you can either use their particular setting, which is basically humanity in the year 3200, after what's called the Scream, has basically destroyed and cut off most of humanity from each other. Or, if you want, obviously you can use... the system in your own, you know, world, if you'd like. Now, the system is actually set up like... It's set up like first, second edition, but with a modern... like modern games. So they've really streamlined it.
I found the name of that game you're talking about. Before it was Alternity, it was called Star Frontiers.
Yeah. So you have your standard classes. You roll your 3d6 for attributes. You pick a class. You pick background packages. You have traits. Choose a home world. Hit points. And in this game, you have psychics, experts, and warriors. By starting gear, all of that. Attributes are simple. They're 18 being the max. At 18, you get a +2 modifier. 3 being, well... the lowest, being at -2. You have your 6 attributes, like you do in typical D&D, strength, intelligence, wisdom, dexterity, constitution, and charisma. They explain those. The classes, like I said, are expert, psychic, and warrior. They keep them very simple, but they use these background packages to basically allow you to create pretty much whatever you want, like adventurer, con artist, deck crew, so on. But one thing I really like is how simple the actual character classes are. And you can really build whatever you want. Like the expert, they have prime attributes or intelligence or charisma, hit dice is D6. Special ability, like a charm. Once per hour, the expert can reroll a failed skill check. Second roll must be used, even if it's worse than the first. Expert class skills, all except for combat skill, tactics, and tech, psi tech. They have experience charts where they gain more hit dice, so on. They have attack bonuses. And instead of your typical saving throws, you have your physical effect savings, your mental effect savings, your evasion save, your tech save, and your luck save. You just roll higher than your saving throw, and something happens. One thing, they've really broken the system down to different tech levels. They have various spaceships in this, which just makes it really nice. You could drop this into any old school Osric first edition game, second edition game. It'd fit great. You could even turn it around if you wanted to and put it in maybe not a third edition game, but keep in mind, you don't have to do the descending armor class. You can do ascending armor class also. And Ethan has cookies.
That's what she said.
This is why we brought him to Kansas.
Yes. They have a very interesting... They do explain how the spaceships actually get around. Their spike drives. Basically, the ships actually... Not quite right now. Their drills. Basically, the ships, because you can't go faster than the speed of light in our dimension, basically the ships drill into other dimensions and cheat. And so in another dimension, you can go faster than the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really neat. They've come up with some really neat ways of doing this. They have different alien races. You can play aliens if you'd like. They're very simple. They have different, they're just so simple. All of this is very simple. You could start one of these games just right off the bat. I'm going to be probably taking ideas from this and putting it in my ongoing game for other stuff. In addition, to get people interested, and I've already downloaded pretty much every single free one they have, let's see, 10 different books that are free on RPG Now. That includes the rule book. The rule book is fairly big. You have Stars Without Number free edition. You have Codex of the New Earth Cult of... What's the name here? Full name, please. Come on. Load. Codex of the New Earth Cult of the Still Lady. Basically, this is an adventure that happens on Earth. It's this creepy blood cult, basically, on the apocalyptic Earth, done in these rules. You have Mandate Archives. There's these different Mandate Archives that explain martial arts, which could be dropped into any game, actually. Very simple for your D&D game. The Red Sangha Mercenary Corps. They're twisted Buddhist mercenaries. Now, Buddhists are... Because this comes from... this is supposed to be from Earth. Well, except it's 3,200 years. So these particular Buddhists are not pacifists.
Nice.
These are actually twisted Buddhists. And they're mercenaries. How they describe it is pretty cool, actually. And my favorite, the Imago Dei. They are basically ships, AI, that believe they were created in the image of God. And they have decided that every once in a while they have to come out of deep space and wipe out a planet because that planet... is not holy enough. That's the basics.
Wow.
They're like paladins.
except not.
But crazy, crazy paladins.
Wait. Aren't most... Never mind.
No, these are crazy robotic paladins.
These are worse than normal paladins.
You know, I do... There's a lot of space games out here. The reason I kind of I saw this one and I liked it is just because it fit into my like the Osric system that I use now. You could dump this into the Osric system very easily, and you'd have no issues. You could have a D&D meet aliens very, very simply. How they create monsters in this, aliens, is so easy. So Stars Without Number, please check it out. It's free for download. If you really like it, I would recommend ordering one of their books. They have hardcover books, and they also have things you can buy at RPG Now. So, and also get the Mandate Archive, the Imago Dei, because that's the robots. They're sweet, the AI. And now I'm going to have a cookie or two.
The review.
Okay, so I'm actually going to be covering a game that's already been covered by Gamers Haven, but it's the new edition. So it's one of the...
We actually had the creators on the show.
That's right. You did have the creators on the show.
They're local boys.
And he came to CantCon, and he is awesome.
And he's coming to CantCon 2013. That's right. That was another CantCon plug. Oh,
yeah.
You know what?
That's how we roll.
So I'm covering Sentinels of the Multiverse, of course, and Chris just put out, and the guys over at Greater Than Games just put out their new edition of the core set, mm-hmm. which is pretty much 100 times better. As cool as the old set was, mm-hmm. the new set is fantastic. The cards are now thicker. The box can actually fit everything, not only everything in the core set, but if it's the core set and has room for both of the current expansions and probably still going to have enough room for the third expansion. Maybe. We'll see.
Depends on how anal retentive you are.
Well, but it's now got deck separators with, mm-hmm. with character names on it. It comes with counters, mm-hmm. Expanded rules. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else?
Comes with counters, the expanded rules,
the thicker card stock, that's about it, really.
That's
really what it comes with, but again...
But it comes with enough space for the stuff from...
it comes with the space...
Rook City and Infernal Relics.
And it comes with the separators for each of those, too. It comes ready to add the first two expansions.
Yeah.
Rook City and not Shattered Timelines, that's the new one. Infernal Relics.
Yeah.
I can't stress how awesome this game is, and getting into co-op games. We've now played this...
Countless times. We've lost track of how often we've played this game. And no game has been the same. You have so many heroes, so many villains now, so many locations.
Yeah, there's still...
And they're putting out another expansion next year.
Yeah, depending on how fast you post this, the Kickstarter should still be up.
Mm-hmm. So you can still get in on its goodies. It's funded.
It's funded, but they have a lot of
goods.
It's
just about to hit 70 grand.
And they only needed, what, 20?
They started off at 20.
It's
really good. The enhanced edition has a ton of great stuff in it. I like how it is. The card stock has changed. The card stock is much sturdier, much nicer. Mm-hmm. The separators are really nice, and that you can fit the other expansions in there is really nice too.
The counters are nice to have. Mm-hmm. And it's all has really high quality stuff. Mm-hmm. The artwork is good. They did redo some of the artwork.
Yeah, and they've done artwork for all of the environment cards.
The environment cards now have all of them have new backs. They all have individual
new backs
cards.
And new art.
Some of the cards have new
art. And art. I mean, the old ones didn't have art.
Oh, they didn't? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's true. All the environment cards now have art. All the environment. And then as going through a couple of the, I was comparing some of the decks earlier today. There's a couple cards that actually have changed their,
They've also gone through and done the errata on all of them and introduced their little H symbol for mm-hmm. number of heroes. And so they've gone through and they've done all the other revisions and errata and stuff like that. So,
and I can't talk highly enough. You know, I can't talk enough about how high a level of quality the creator of this game has poured into it. He pours his heart and soul into it. He was again. He was at CanCon 2012, and he sat at his table for 12 hours a day
and ran the game.
And ran demos all the time. He just
he sold out too.
He did.
And yeah. And that was him trying not to. You know?
Yeah. He actually was sitting there saying, and this just shows anybody who's listening like what kind of a creator Chris is. He had damaged copies of the game at discount, and he was literally sitting there saying, "Well, excuse me. Well, I have these, but don't buy them. We're coming out with our new enhanced edition next month, and you're going to want to get that." And
people were like, "But I want it now because I want to go play it more."
But it's that cool.
It really is that cool.
And they have another. The Rook City expansion's out, and I think we may have mentioned that on the show once or twice.
Rook City was out. Should have been out when you guys first covered it.
I believe so. I think we may have done a review.
When we sat down with the creators, we were one of the first sites to get artwork,
For Rook City.
From one of the cards for Rook City.
The thing about Rook City, I don't know if we ever did a review of it, but we'll talk a bit about it because they have two expansions out for it now, and the core set's great.
Hang on, wait. One quick thing I want to touch on. Core set, still only $40.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Price is right on this game. I mean, $40 for the core set gives you hours and hours of play. The expansions are $20 each, which is nothing these days. And
which is ridiculous.
And you get, in the core set, you get four villains, four locations, and I think it's 10 heroes. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's 10
heroes. In the core set?
Core set, I think it's 10 heroes.
Yeah, 10 heroes.
And then each of the expansions gives you four more villains, two locations and two new heroes to use, and it's utterly fantastic.
Yeah, well worth it. And Rook City is the more sort of Gotham City-esque expansion, and it's you get some much more difficult villains in there.
They have not been their expansions do not give you easy villains whatsoever.
Well, they run the gamut. You know, you have some easy ones, and you have some crazy hard ones.
But even, I mean, and here's another interesting note. In the new rule book, they have rated all of their heroes and all of their villains. The heroes are all rated on complexity of play. The villains are all rated on difficulty. There are only two level one difficulty villains, and that's Baron Blade and Omnitron. All the rest are either two or three.
Yeah.
So
sounds about right.
Yeah. And after Rook City, they put out Infernal Relics, which is a more magic oriented. They actually introduced
and we actually played in. With your brother and sister in law, I played against one of the villains called the Ennead, which is a super villain
team
group, which is tough because just like your heroes, whenever you knock out one of the team, they flip to their knocked outside, and they still annoy the snot out of you with things like discard the top four cards of your deck, take the top card of your deck, put it on the bottom, heals all remaining villains by two. The Ennead is obnoxious.
Yeah, and what I would like to see actually, what I have in my brain for a big crazy thing like at CanCon or something is to do an Iron Man tournament for it, whereas you have the five players playing, and then you have the first villain.
Oh,
once they defeat that villain, then the next one just pops out.
And then you just keep going.
When a hero drops, they get a new hero.
Okay, I was going to say because otherwise you would
and then
never.
Whoever runs out first, if the villains run out first, I
actually want to test run this with you because that would be fun. My money's on the villains, though.
Some of those villains are brutal.
Omnitron was bad, and he's rated as a weakling.
Well, Omnitron was bad.
Omnitron's bad. His new version is even worse. Alternate version is much worse.
that guy gave me nightmares in the first place.
The chairman and the associate, I think. Yeah, some of
them. Oh god, that was a pain.
Hey, we beat them though.
The bird lady,
the matriarch.
God, she's evil.
The matriarch. Her thing is that every one of her birds that you put, she attacks you every time you kill one of the birds. Mm-hmm. Every time you put one of the birds out, the every single bird that she has says, play the next card on the villain deck. So you can drop six birds in a row. And it happened to us. And then she has cards that pull all the birds back out of the...
We shouldn't have let Eric choose that character.
No.
Yeah, no, we should have let Eric entirely choose the character.
But so far, they've just been knocking it out of the park with their core set and then the expansion, their second expansion, and then now their enhanced edition.
And now
it's worth every penny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like Ethan said, he and I are both in on the Kickstarter for the new one.
Yeah, for Shattered Timelines.
It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is he and you know, no spoilers because you can look it up online. Yep. He announced one of the new hero is Omnitron X.
Yeah.
It's Omnitron's own self. His like 10th revision got emotions and went, "Oh God, what have I done?
Yep.
I have to go back in time and stop myself."
Yeah.
No joke.
Huh. That's
a pretty cool looking card.
It's a good looking card. One of the new the promo villain you can only get through Kickstarter is called the Assistant, and what it is in the lore of the game, you've got the Freedom Five, and at one point, because the Shattered Timeline deals with alternate universe, what happened is the Assistant is the assistant of the Freedom Five, and they got into some situation where they had to choose between saving her and saving six other people. Well, they saved the six people, not her. And she's in this alternate timeline, and she remembers this happening. So she goes, "No, forget you guys.
Smurf that.
I'm gonna make them pay."
Uh huh.
And so this is a promo villain deck that they're putting out, which looks incredible. There's a couple of the other things that they've announced are like dark, alternate cards for a couple of them as promos. Dark Vision, a new version of Bunker, a new version of Tachyon.
I mean, that all being said, the enhanced edition's worth every penny. The expansions they put out are fantastic. So, all right, cool.
Especially since I was able to chip in for...
Yeah. Well, we are back, and we do have... we don't have a lot of random encounters on here, actually. We've only got two. And it's actually two new two minions on the minion map. We got... I want to say hi to minion number 40, Baron, who is down in Altus, Oklahoma. Cool. Which looks like it has nothing near it. And it's down in, like, southwestern Oklahoma, so you just need to come up for CantCon, just so you know. But I want to say hi, Baron. Thanks for dropping your Spider-Man on the map there. And then we got another fan out in Hawaii.
Cool.
This one in Kaneohe, Hawaii. And this is Regentine. So I want to say hello to that fan. He's actually not too far from Jacob. Another fan out in Hawaii. Hello to my number. Hello to our number 41 out on the minion map. So please, of course, go hit our minion map and drop your pin on there. We're slowly spreading like a disease across the globe. So hopefully, we'll have a good outbreak there. That's it for the random encounters and whatnot. We've been quiet for a while, and hopefully, we'll be getting on back onto a fairly routine schedule at this point.
Real quick, before we end for the night, just something I thought we might throw out there, because there's a lot of great stuff going on right now on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to just point out some of the various different Kickstarters that are currently going. Most of these will probably be done by the time that this gets posted, but that's not necessarily not necessarily the case with all of them. Starting off with a role-playing game one, the original creators of Shadowgate are attempting to remake Shadowgate and release it for the new system. It uses the latest in graphics type setup. And for those of you who remember the NES version, they got the rights to the NES music, and it's being orchestrated for the first time ever. Doesn't have a high amount needed, 120,000. They're more than halfway there with more than, I think, 16 days left to go. For those of you out there that are like me who like Quest for Glory, Lori and Corey Cole have put up their new game called Hero U, Rogue to Redemption. It's got 10 days to go. It's currently sitting at 211,000. It needs 400,000 to make its goal. So if this gets posted with enough time that people can go out and do it, if you liked Quest for Glory, back Lori and Corey Cole. On top of that, one that was, of course, funded, no big surprise there, Chris Roberts, the gentleman who created Wing Commander, and the Wing Commander movie, has released his new system.
Insert crickets there.
Yeah, it was bad. For various reasons, it actually wasn't his fault. Surprise, surprise.
Anyway.
But anyways, he's releasing his new system called Squadron...
Star Citizen.
Star Citizen Squadron 42.
Right.
It has a single player and an online persistent multiplayer. It's going to be done in the same vein as like Guild Wars, where you get to play it forever. You don't have to pay a monthly fee. He was looking for like 500,000 or something like that, and they're close to a million. Yeah, he's made it by a long shot. Plus, people are donating at his website. But if you like the Wing Commander games and the old space sim games, this is a game to look at. It's got great story, and the graphics are absolutely gorgeous. It's running on the highest end machine that's available now, and it's running like at 10 frames a second because it's just the fidelity is just crazy. There are these cool.
There's a very cool Kickstarter for something called Dice Rings. Now this will be, if Ethan should get this up within a week.
Theoretically.
There's a product called Dice Rings. What it is a spinner ring you wear, and then you flick the ring, and it has an indicator, and this inside spinner has numbers on it, and it works like a die. They're putting it out in D4, D10, D20, D12, D8, in all the basic ones. And they look kind of cool. I will say that the video that they posted up caught my attention. It's actually pretty humorous.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like fun. If you're like me who loves dice and loves dice alternatives and all kinds of stuff, it looked like fun.
Let's see. Where'd it go? There's a board game. It was successfully funded, but I think people should keep an eye out for it. It's called Salem. And what it is specifically about the Salem witch trials from the 1600s. And it has a more historically accurate setup on it. I don't know. It got funded.
What's this one called again?
It's called Salem. I'm trying to see if I can find it. Yeah, there it is. It is a card game. It's called Salem, an innovative new strategy board game for 3 to 7 players. It was successful. It was successfully funded, which is good. It's very, very interesting. Basically, each person gets a certain number of people, and then they're given a certain number of cards. Some of them are witches. Some of them are just normal citizens, and only the player who actually has the cards knows. And so basically what it do is like it's very Clue-esque or Cluedo, for those of you that are European. Where someone accuses, and they accuse that person of being a witch or whatnot, and then it gets to the point where you're actually selecting who you think is the witch and who's the citizen, and then it goes through, and then the hanging, and then you find out who really was and whatnot, and based on how you did, it depends on who wins. Looks very cool. He goes through an entire game setup in the video clip just to give you a rough idea of how it plays. Looks very, very fun, very exciting to play. Definitely an interesting card game I would like to get in on.
Mutants and Masterminds has a 10-year anniversary edition. Currently has 9 days to go. It's a hardcover book. They're fully funded, but if you're like us and like Mutants and Masterminds, very well worth getting in on.
Got an interesting one here that'll make Jeremy and Ethan laugh. Apparently, Werewolf the Forsaken has done so well that... they've actually released a 20th anniversary edition of Werewolf the Apocalypse. and it was kickstarted successfully by 447%, which shows you how much people like Werewolf the Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be coming out sometime soon.
It's the anniversary edition. They already put out an anniversary edition of Vampire.
Yeah.
Oh, they did already put one?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Robin Laws successfully funded his new game system called Hillfolk. It's a drama system role-playing. It looks very interesting. It got successfully funded. It's done. We'll have to check that out when it comes out. And our very own Tracy,
Yeah.
Yep, Tracy.
He successfully funded his one shot with that 140% of its goal. So excellent for him. So that'll be coming out soon. So that's definitely something worth checking out. There's a couple other ones that are currently going, and unfortunately I don't have them open right now. But I think Noah's got something he wants to...
Flipping through, there's a couple of other, there's always interesting stuff on Kickstarter, and maybe we'll just start doing a small, like, this is what we're looking at on Kickstarter segment kind of thing.
I'll be darned.
Yes, I'm trying to keep track of these so I can actually put links to them up on the
That's
the
fine. I'll make sure that I get you all the links. I don't know. So I can't find anything more specific, but suffice it to say, if you're a gamer, this is a good time to be a gamer because there's a lot of there's a lot of indie stuff going on. The one other one I did want to mention is that guys over at Pinnacle, everybody loves Pinnacle, is pushing a let me see if I can find it, is pushing a line of miniatures for their the Hell on Earth book. They want the line of miniatures to come out in tandem with the full print edition of the book. They've got a Kickstarter going for that. It currently has another 5 days to go, so we'll see if we can get this up on time for that. But yeah, I mean, if you've never sat down and looked at Kickstarter, look at Kickstarter.
In subsequent episodes, we'll try to point you guys towards some here and there.
So yeah, especially like cool. The CantCon one that should be going up in another couple months.
Oh yes. You thought you were free of CanCon. It will never happen now.
Well, I was going to talk about Project Infinity from Obsidian Studios.
Well, that got funded.
It got funded, but it's not on here anymore.
It's in a different section. I'll show it to you. We'll discuss that next time.
Yeah. There is actually one that's interesting. There was a game released for the Sega Genesis, a modded cart that a group created called Pure Solar, which was a role-playing game. It did incredibly well. It was a limited edition cartridge run. It ran like a real cartridge. Because it did so well, they're looking to release it on the Xbox 360, the PC, Mac, and Linux, and a high-definition version. It's Pier, P-I-E-R. I have played the Genesis version.
Good.
And it is really good.
Right. Cool.
It is like a classic JRPG, but it was done somewhere in Europe.
Cool.
Definitely worth checking out. If you love that type of game, it's definitely worth playing. There's also a great new game coming out called Sir, You Are Being Hunted, which is an interesting tweed punk. They call it tweed punk robo horror. It is an indie game, but it's got a great art style. Definitely looks worth looking at. It is funded, but it's got another 22 days to go. So if it's something you guys like, I definitely recommend kicking in on it.
All right.
There's tons more, but
we're running out.
We'll get into that next time. As always. Jeremy, do you have anything to add?
Okay. About Kickstarter?
No.
Yeah.
I think we've heard enough about Kickstarter. as always, head over to website, hit the forums up. Let's try to kickstart some discussions on that. Mm-hmm. Find us on iTunes, rate and review us. Go to the website and comment on episodes. Shoot us emails. Do all that good stuff, and just keep listening, really.
Yes.
So, thanks so much for listening. We will talk to y'all later.
Holy cow.
Check you later.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven Podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States License, some rights reserved. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.